Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode, we welcome Dr. Robert Dean and Katie Davis to talk about what we can do to foster team culture in organizations during these difficult times. Robert, welcome back to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about your background and what you do here at Vizient.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be back. I am the Senior Vice President of Performance Management for Vizient, where I lead our clinical workforce solutions, which includes the nurse residency program, physician and APP onboarding, and clinical team insights. As well, I oversee our clinical networks for clinical leaders, CMOs, CNOs, and CQOs. Glad to be here and glad to have this discussion with you and Katie today.
Thank you, Robert. And Katie, same thing with you. Tell us a little about your background and what you do here at Vizient.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. And it's great to be here. My background is in nursing. I worked at an academic medical center when I went to school and then decided to kind of switch gears and study health systems management. Currently, I'm the Clinical Workforce Solutions Intelligence Director, where I get to work with our, as Robert mentioned, Clinical Team Insights, Formal Onboarding Program, and Nurse Residency Program to talk about leading trends, strategic opportunities, and also work with our curriculum.
Thank you, Katie. And thank you both for joining us today. So let's dive right to it. We've been working towards clinical collaborative teams for a long time now. And in the past, we've had challenges to keep this up. So what's actually avoiding us from reaching our full potential?
Tom, historically, I think there's been a few things that have inhibited the full functioning of team-based care. And a big part of that has been role clarity, especially with the emergence of more and more advanced practice providers, such as nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, nurse anesthetists, midwives, that many of the other teammates are not really clear on what their training is, what their competencies are, and what their roles and responsibilities should be in a team. In addition, we've often taken people who've trained in their individual specialties or professions and put them into a multidisciplinary team without really honing communication skills. You know, so how best to communicate to others that you're working with in this environment for the most effective delivery of care and for the most effective performance of the team? And then finally, it's often been unclear that the team shares common goals. So many of the incentives for each of the individuals are based on their individual roles and not so much on the performance of the team. I think these are a few things that historically have inhibited a good team-based care. Katie, your thoughts?
I agree, Robert, with everything that you just outlined. I think there's also an issue where we sort of have these historical traditions that we have had a really hard time breaking away from. So things that we might have learned in nursing school or medical school years ago when that was what was being taught, so much has changed since then and evolved. I think all of us can fall into a pattern where we fall into sort of historical trends and routines that we maybe were more familiar with at a different time, and just trying to change and sort of pivot to a new normal has been a big challenge because, Tom, as you mentioned, we've been working towards a collaborative clinical team for such a long time. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today, the key components that are foundational to high functioning teams aren't new. So there are, as Robert outlined, a number of things that contribute to sort of these habits that we formed that have been very hard for healthcare as an industry to break away from.
So, you know, Katie, I get it in the sense that there's the historical component, particularly with some of our AMCs where the culture is more than a century old. And then Robert brought up a good point about there's an issue with role clarity, particularly with the new onset or the rise of APPs, issues with communication or improvement, particularly with top to bottom and bottom to top type communication, and issues with goals that aren't being clear or even unified. So then the pandemic occurred. So what occurred with that?
Well, just a couple of things. We have seen, as COVID was introduced to the scene earlier in 2020, our clinical workforce has been challenged in ways that they have never been challenged before on personal levels, on professional levels, as team members, as caregivers, as providers, in so, so many ways. Teams that had worked together previously as elective surgeries were slowing down, staff were were redeployed, staff were displaced, many were laid off or even furloughed. We think about a high functioning team, and even if you had a high functioning team, in many cases, those teams were disbanded to staff the higher acuity areas or areas that were in higher need with a COVID surge. So that all of these factors combined have really created this environment that we've never seen before, certainly in our lifetime, mm-hmm. that has challenged our clinical workforce teams in some pretty incredible ways.
Yeah, and I think early on, we actually saw some really exemplary teamwork being done with people having a common cause and really working together, thinking that in doing so, we'd get a handle on this thing, the pandemic. But it's really turned into an endurance test. It's gone from what we thought would be a sprint into a marathon. And with that is just this ongoing high level of need for performance, the ongoing exposure and potential risk to our workforce. And as we've heard in some of our discussions with the leadership of our member organizations, this is really the most profound examples of burnout that they've seen. That people are just getting tired of the unrelenting nature of the pandemic, and that it doesn't look like anytime soon we're going to get our arms around it. And it's deflating for the workforce.
You know, it's important to say with this time where there's so many disruptions, leadership really counts. So let's talk about that. Let's define what we mean by a team.
Sure. So who makes up the team? First and foremost, at the very center of the team is the patient. Everything that we do, everything that the caregiver, the provider, the clinician, the healthcare team does really needs to revolve around the patient. Also on the team includes a caregiver or family member of the patient, and then of course the healthcare providers.
And those providers can come from multiple educational backgrounds, multiple skill sets, but what is needed is common purpose. And as Katie said, the patient is the focus of that common purpose. That's really key. And then also you have to take time for the team to come together. So you can't just say you 5, 6, 10 individuals are a team. They need that familiarity. They need the trust. They need to work with each other. They need communication. So there needs to be some recognition of the time component to build a team as well.
So that's interesting. What you're getting at is that traditionally the patient's always been a passive member of this journey. What you're suggesting is not only the patient, but also their families or caregivers, if you will, are an active part of the team?
For sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are the characteristics of an effective team-based care?
So Tom, I keep thinking back to your initial question about how we've been sort of talking about effective clinical teams for a long time, which leads me into the answer for that, which I'll cite a resource from the National Academy of Medicine that is now almost 10 years old, but still really, really rings true to highlight the foundations of an effective team. And those include shared goals, clear roles, mutual trust, effective communication, and finally, measurable processes and outcomes. So those are some of our foundational components of an effective team that we've talked about now for many, many years. There are a couple of key themes I want to highlight and characteristics of effective teams that have really bubbled to the top of the list in the last 8 months. And those include agility, communication, and trust. Trust among team members, and then trust with the healthcare organization or provider and the patient.
And to build on that, really, trust is needed, but trust is an outcome, if you will, of the other four. So in other words, understanding the roles of everybody on the team, having shared goals for the team, effective communication between the team members, patient, and others within the delivery organization, and then understanding what the processes they're involved in and what the metrics to measure those processes and outcomes are, and as those relate to what the goals of the team are. So really, to me, trust is an outcome of developing those four other foundational elements first. And if you do that well, then trust follows.
That's a great point, Robert. One thing I'd like to add is just to paint a little bit more of a clearer picture of sort of real time what's happening within healthcare organizations across the country during COVID. We actually conducted a survey of our Vizient membership to ask them what characteristics they're seeing of teams that are functioning really effectively during COVID. And there were a couple of key words and phrases that really stuck out to me when I was sifting through those responses. And I'll share a couple of those. First is empathy, appreciation, recognition, valuing everyone's opinion. And then last, we before me, which is a common theme, I think that really, really highlights very nicely the topic that we're here to talk about today.
You know, it's interesting that I've been hearing for the last few months a certain consistency in three words when it comes to surviving or being successful during this time of the pandemic. You've mentioned them. Agility or even being nimble was being used consistently among all leaders that had a successful run. Communication from top to bottom and bottom to top. Be willing to provide feedback. It's not only just being clear, but also being very honest with your communication. And then lastly, trust. And it's a word we use a lot, but with trust, I think we think of Steve Covey's book, The Speed to Trust, where you need to have character, consistency, and competency. So what are the benefits of having team-based care?
So Tom, the benefits are just crystal clear. Not only are employees happier and engaged, but we know that patient outcomes are better, patients are more engaged, higher quality teamwork is associated with higher quality and safety of care delivery.
And with that, it allows us to do more. And I think in this time when we have so many patients with the pandemic and the other work that we're doing, we recognize that we have shortages in the nursing workforce, in the physician workforce. We simply have to be able to do more with less in terms of the number of providers and clinicians that can care for the population. And effective team-based care allows us to do this. It improves productivity. It improves the number of patients that we can communicate with, have preventative health as well as maintenance of health. Not everything has to be or needs to be acute care. So team-based care can really allow us to do a lot of things that we couldn't do as just a collection of individuals.
So what approaches and actions that we've learned need to continue?
So there are a couple of things that really stand out that we have heard from our healthcare organizations that are Vizient members. And some of them are really, if you think about it, they don't cost us anything. A couple things that our members have shared with us are key to advancing and really building that strong team culture. Focus around celebration, recognition, and appreciation. Again, those don't necessarily need to cost us anything, but we have heard over and over again that celebrating the successes, celebrating one another, and recognizing each other for a job well done, for giving your best effort, for bringing your best self to work, and for including one another and really welcoming each team member to bring their best selves to work is by far and away one of the biggest things that I think had been done in some capacity, of course, in the past, but we've seen this celebration sort of reach this new level. And I certainly hope that's something that we continue to see. A couple of other key themes or qualities of teams that we have seen emerge over the last few months. We've talked a lot about agility or nimbleness, so the ability of organizations and team members to shift to ensure that the patient gets the care that they need when they need it, from whom they need it. We've also talked a lot about trust. Establishing, maintaining that trust is not something that's new, but I think we're thinking about trust in a new way because we're seeing just how important it is.
Robert and Katie, thanks for joining us. We're at the end of part one. In part two, we're going to bring you back to explore in greater depth how to create a team-based culture. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice Podcast on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.